too hot lady. Gotta run for shelter, gotta run for shade. Too hot.
This Sports. Used to be the song back in the day.
Oh, yeah? Well, who sings this song?
Cool in the Gang.
Okay. Yeah. I am music illiterate, so thanks for filling me in on that. I'm just letting Hugh cook here. I mean,
yeah, JT need to cut that afro, dog, because, you know, some of them cats that used to perform like that, they need to cut that afro.
Yeah.
Don't look right.
Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today. This is the Midday Show. Talking a lot about the Phillies today, obviously, as they lose 3-1 last night. Do you think they need to make a big splash move at the deadline, or are you okay with minor moves? Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing that others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. And our question off of that big splash question that we had earlier, would you be willing to package Alec Bohm in a trade for Austin Riley? Right now, 78% of the audience saying yes, they would be willing to do
that.
Yeah,
I mean, that's pretty smart move.
I think most people would. I think it would be less about Bohm and more about the prospects that you'd have to give up. And, you know, I don't know if you'd have to give up Painter. I think if the Braves committed to selling and that's something they'd be open to, I think Bohm, Miller, Crawford, maybe another prospect might be enough. But that's the kind of thing that I think the Phillies need to look at. And who knows if the Braves are going to trade Austin Riley. I think they'll definitely be sellers, just to the degree that they're going to commit to being sellers.
Yeah, who are you going to give up? Like, who are they willing to give up?
Right, exactly.
And when you talk about the injuries that I think some of their pitchers have had over the, like Chris Sale, the other guy? The porn stash dude. Can't think of his name. Spencer Strider.
Well, he's back now.
Well, no, I'm just saying, yeah. Like, they've had injuries in the pitching staff. They would love to have a pitcher like Painter.
And they've just been decimated this year. I mean, yeah. Smith Shalver got hurt here.
Then the dude got in trouble for the PDs, right? Didn't somebody get in trouble with PDs?
Profar did for them.
Yeah, he got in trouble early on.
Yeah, I think he just got back. I'm not sure. But you look around baseball, I think it's starting to get more clear as to who the sellers are going to be. I mean, you look at some teams in the AL, like the Rangers, they're falling out. The Guardians are in free fall. The Twins, these are teams now, the Royals, who you can look at and say, okay, they're probably going to be sellers. You look at the NL, the Diamondbacks. I mean, that's a team with some interesting pieces, whether it's Gurriel, whether it's a guy like Ketel Marte, if they were to commit to trading guys like that. The one move, like, could you imagine the Phillies do this, though? The Cincinnati Reds right now are 3.5 games out of the wild card. What if Dombrowski goes back to the well? What if he does it again and says, you know what, it didn't work last year. I'm doubling down. I'm going to get Austin Hayes for a second straight year. How would you guys feel about that? In the right up the minor move alley.
Why? Is he working?
Kyle's not a guy with that. What's his name? You mean bring him back?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Okay. Oh, just
wait
making sure. What did you think I was talking about?
I'm surprised you were so surprised at my reaction.
No, because, wait a minute, I didn't know what he was saying. Like, I was listening, but I guess I didn't understand at the moment what you were saying. No.
But you weren't hearing the words.
Yeah, yeah. You know, yeah, basically, that's what I was.
No, I didn't make it clear. That's on me. I'll take it.
No, I was like, wait a minute, what? And then, you mean bring him back? No. Mm-mm.
No. Okay, good. I was worried that you were going to
no, because you, the way you presented it, like you was talking about, like I thought you meant like fleece the Reds for somebody, like from the Cincinnati, but no.
Mm-mm. Okay. All right, good.
No.
215-592-9494 if you want to get in on that. Rob Thompson, were you disappointed in the way that Rob Thompson handled the situation last night with umpire Phil Cuzzi in the eighth inning? One of the worst umpired games ever. And guys, it is going to be nice next year when we have the robot umps. We don't have to worry about
You think
about
they're
this.
Coming next year?
I think they're absolutely coming next year. Mm, I mean,
I don't think it's going to happen next year.
You don't think so?
Not next year.
They're probably going to have the ABS, like where they can challenge.
Yeah.
The challenge.
Yeah, they could do that. They're going to do. I don't think they're going to go straight robo umps, though.
Right. They'll have the ABS. That's what I meant, the ABS thing. Right. But,
okay. So you could chat, like you could push the button and challenge the call or whatever.
It really is the dumbest thing, though. Like, why not just go to full robot umps? It's ridiculous.
I'm pretty sure that the umpires have like a, what do they call it?
The union.
Union. Umpires yeah. union. So yeah, they're not going to do that. Yeah.
So I was once an anti robot umps, anti like challenge system guy. Because I like the fact that managers and players and stuff would go out there and scream in the umpire's face. I love when Schwarber did that with Angel Hernandez. But if Rob Thompson's just going to be asleep in the dugout,
you might as well.
Then there's no point.
Right.
I mean, if Topper's not going to run out there and chew the umpire out, then what the hell do I want to keep? Like, what do I want to keep the umpires for?
I can't believe somebody called in and called him Rob Zombie. That's
no,
not
did.
Right.
No, I think that was on the text line. Was it on the You Peoples?
Yeah, it was.
You Peoples did that. You Peoples did that.
You Peoples. All right, I'm excited for You People later on today.
No, I'm not.
I don't even though the failed restaurant owner thing really
that
got to
was
me.
Hilarious.
That really got to me yesterday, man. I was thinking about that all night. I told my wife about it.
They tend to get it. Like some of them hit kind of hard. They tend to get in your head a little bit. Like the ones where they're talking about, I'm afraid of commitment and accountability and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not,
but you know, yeah.
I'm getting a haircut after the show today
because I was no, so. No, you need to let it ride.
No, man. I was so rattled by that comment that I'm like, you know what? I need to get a haircut tomorrow. I need to change things up. I need to change some things about my life.
No, it's fine, man. Leave it there, man. Go ahead, leave it. I saw you over there. You stole the kids' Uncrustables today, huh?
Yep, I stole the Uncrustables.
You didn't see that guy?
Yeah,
he stole his children's Uncrustables.
Yeah, I buy the.
You ought to be ashamed.
I would think any parent of young kids out there can relate. You buy the Uncrustables for the kids, but then they're so good and they're so quick, and I'm running out the door this morning.
No, that's an
so
excuse. I think a lot of parents buy. I think a lot of parents buy them because it gives them an excuse to eat them.
Well, they're good, man. They're
I haven't
really
had
good.
One. I refuse to eat them.
Kyle, are you an Uncrustable guy?
This is gonna sound crazy. Not really a big PB and J guy.
What?
Eh.
That's disturbing.
I never really, never got into it.
You never got into peanut butter
and
jelly?
I mean, I like
PB&Js.
Mm. I rock with a couple.
I think PB&Js might be like in the top five of foods I've eaten
most of my life. I think I'd rather just eat a peanut butter sandwich. I do like peanut butter.
You skip the jelly?
Yeah, I don't need it. I can take it or leave it.
Wow, that's weird.
Mm. Without the jelly?
Yeah.
Mm.
That's a weird
move. I like, what's that, strawberry.
Yeah, the strawberry jelly.
I like the jam.
Yeah, that's good.
And I like the ratio. The peanut butter has to be heavy, a heavy ratio of peanut butter.
This is great.
With the jam.
Yeah.
But the peanut butter ratio, it has to be a heavy, like, ratio.
Is it weird that I'll make the peanut butter and jelly, and I'll put the piece of bread together, and then I'll separate them, and I'll eat the jelly side, and then I'll eat the peanut butter side?
Yeah, that's weird. Why are you putting together?
I don't know. I just kind of like it a little better that way.
I guess I make my own Uncrustables because I eat the fringe pieces first.
Okay.
And then, you know, I'd go for the whole thing.
There you go. 215-592-9494. In a few minutes here, we'll get to Joe, who released his quarterback list, what's he doing? He's on vacation. He's releasing quarterback rankings. But we'll get to that in a few minutes. First, let's go back to the phones. Go to Violet in Virginia. What's up, Violet?
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm great. Hey, Hugh.
Yes.
I tend to agree with Hugh. I do not want to make a radical change. I just want to make a couple things here and there. And again, I don't understand the big thing about Alec Boehm. I mean, he's batting .279. He's got 41 RBIs. You know, I get sick and tired of, oh, he acts like a baby. He gets upset. What's he going to freaking be excited when he doesn't do well? And then my other point was, or I have a question. Sosa, is there a way that we can have him playing more? Because he is a very, very good player, explosive. He brings a lot of dynamics to the team. I don't understand the other reason that everybody's getting so upset. I mean, okay, we lost last night. I get it. But let's see how tonight goes. Let's see. We might end up winning the series. And if we do, it's like the Eagles. They just find a way to win. We're not even close to October yet.
But Violet, I think the thing that at least troubles me, and I'll just speak for myself here, like this, what worries me is this is the same stuff we've seen the last couple of years.
It's the same usual suspects.
I know.
Yeah, and I look at like that series a few weeks ago against Houston where you get that incredible pitching and you can't score any runs and you get swept. That's what worries me when you look back at that and you look at last year's playoff series is like, what's really different about this team?
I know it is very frustrating. It is very frustrating, but I just have a feeling that once they start clicking, the pitching has been phenomenal, and I get so frustrated because the pitching is just amazing. And I get it. I get everybody's frustration. But what's to say that we're not going to start clicking at the right time with the bats? And then if we start clicking with the bats and the freaking pitching, we're going to be unstoppable.
That could happen. And I appreciate the call, Violet. Thanks. But that sounds a lot more like hope for me than actual belief.
Well, that's kind of where we are. I mean,
I want to believe, though.
Well, we've been relegated to running this thing back. We tried to make some moves in offseason, and we didn't. Well, we couldn't. And that's where we are. So you have to try to find joy somewhere, because when you look at the standings, and this is me, you know, perspective. This is me channeling my inner
that
perspective.
That word has been
Kyle.
Used a lot the last couple
but
days.
But Kyle dropped some science on us yesterday when he was talking about the standings, and he was talking about how close we are and how
perspective.
The Phillies
I'm
are,
over that today, though. Are I shook that off.
They're in the, top five, top ten in some major categories in baseball. Well, so that's a good place to be.
And just to Violet's point about, like, none of us are in here today asking about the trade deadline because they lost last night.
Right.
No,
and them winning tonight isn't going to make anyone say, oh, you know what? They don't need hitting, or they don't need a closer and stuff. Like, we've seen this team for 91 games. We all know what the flaws are. We know what the strengths are. The trade deadline conversation is off of that. And I don't know. And the Boehm stuff bothers me, too. Not what you're talking about with Alec Boehm. But when people say, like, what do you want him to do? Like, be excited when he strikes out? Nobody's asking him to be excited when he strikes out. Just don't be a baby.
Right.
Like, what is Kyle Schwarber excited when he strikes out? No. But nobody has anything to say about the way he reacts when he walks off out of the box and into the dugout, because he's just a normal human being.
Right. And just don't slam your helmet down and complain to the ump when, by the way, the pitch is like clearly in the zone like it was last Friday.
Why do we have to throw temper tantrums?
Every single time. It gets exhausting. Let's go to Tom in Winfield. What's up, Tom? Yo, Tom.
Tom.
Oh, Tom's not there. Let's go to Anna and Broomall. What's up, Anna?
Hi, guys. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Anna.
All right. So, number one, definitely no on Austin Hayes. Let's not do that again. If it didn't work the first time, it's not going to work again. I completely agree with you. Topper isn't above being thrown out of a game. He did it a year ago versus the Orioles when Stubbs' hit-by-pitch was recalled. So we know he can do it. We know he's capable of sticking up for his guys. It seems like his coaches were taking his lead yesterday, and they were just minor chirps, nothing too crazy. I don't know what kind of poker face he has, but he was definitely Sleepy Joe, as somebody might want to say. He should have definitely stuck up for his guys. I mean, Cuzzy's calls were so incredibly against us and not for the Giants, which is insane. That I was about to throw things at my brand new television.
And I mean, those calls were just ridiculous. Especially, I mean, that at bat when Kirkering was on the mound. I mean, he has struck out three times in that at bat.
Three. He had three strikeouts in a row, completely in the box or on the line, and because he's like, "What are you doing?" And not only that, but with the calls that are going to get into Kirkering's head. Think about how great Harp looked decent last night. He was really actually looking like he was getting into the groove. And now he comes up to bat, and because he's calling balls strikes and strikes balls, what's Harp supposed to do? What am I going to swing at? What am I going to do? Then the next ball that gets thrown at him is literally about to take his groin off. Come on, that's psychological warfare, and it was really like an obnoxious game. Go ahead.
No, it was brutal, Anna. I appreciate the call. Thanks. But yeah, it was terrible. Had to say it was going to take his groin off.
Yeah, that she said about to get in the groin.
Yeah. But yeah, terrible.
Never know.
Terribly umpired game. I don't know what that would look like. 215-592.
Painful.
It definitely would be. 215-592-9494. That's how you get in. But we did need to mention this. So what happened here, Kyle? So Joe's on vacation this week, obviously, which is why I'm in this week. But Joe's releasing his quarterback rankings for 2025. What the hell is he doing?
There's no better time than when you're on vacation.
I love to imagine, like, Joe's out with the family, whatever, and he's, like, sneaking off in the bathroom or in the closet.
He's like, I gotta go to the bathroom.
He needs to fire off these quarterback rankings for 2025.
Yeah, what is he doing? Like, to your point, like, mm-hmm. You're on vacation. Now, granted, I texted Joe last week about something, but it had nothing to do with work. It was something totally different. But what are you doing when you're on vacation with your wife and children that you feel compelled to have your quarterback list that day? Like, you're on your own Space Mountain, Magic Mountain, whatever. You're like, well, you know what? I need to kill him with this one.
He loves the content, man. Yeah, he's a content guy.
He's over there thinking about it. He's probably got a bunch of shows that he's already thought up so when he gets back.
Yeah. Well, and there's one show in particular that we can surmise from this list. Do you want to hear his list?
Yeah, I would love to.
I will read it to you up to, well, I'll give you just the top 10, right? So number one is Patrick Mahomes.
Obviously.
Yep. Number two, Josh Allen. Number three, Lamar. Number four, Joe Burrow. I don't think those are in, none of those are.
Not egregious.
Unless you're insane, like we do know some people are. Nobody's debating that's the top four quarterbacks.
I'd have Burrow over Lamar, but.
Sure, right. But in some order,
right.
Those are the four top quarterbacks. Right, like that's the tier, I believe. And then here's what I think the take in this whole thing. Number five, Jaden Daniels. Number six, Jalen Hurts. He had seven Herbert, eight Stafford, nine Goff, 10 Brock Purdy.
I think he's trolling us, dog.
Well,
I mean,
it's the Daniels over Hurts thing.
You guys disagree with him? I don't disagree with him.
You know what's
funny?
I remember who's the quarterback for the Texans?
Stroud.
C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, he's not in the top 10.
No, but remember how we were all enamored by him in his first season? Oh, my God, it's C.J. Stroud. Da-da-da-da. Joe has first season, you know, he first season love for Jay. He looked great, man. But and he played well down the stretch. When teams got a little book on him, he played well down the stretch. But now there's a whole lot going on down there in Washington right now with the Commodores. They got a little bit of dissension in the ranks, if you will. Might be a little tougher this year. Be a little tougher.
I mean, their big offseason move was to bring in an overweight wide receiver.
Yeah, I'm not buying the Commanders next season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as quick to write them off as you are. I still think they're going to be good. I got to say, though, I don't think that's an egregious take from Joe. And this is not demeaning Jalen Hurts.
One small sample size.
But I agree with him, man. I think Jaden Daniels is better than
And that's fair. That's fair because we all do it. We all, you know, get enamored with the quarterback in the one-year play.
Yeah.
But longevity matters in this game.
So I think there's, like, if you're asking NFL general managers, who would you rather take for your team right now? It wouldn't surprise me if a lot of them said I would take Jaden Daniels. Like, he's a number two overall pick, played amazing his rookie year, took his team to the NFC Championship game. Like, you know, we all watch what Jaden Daniels did. I'm not going there after one good season. Like, we did this with C.J. Stroud. He fell off the next season. Like, a little bit more time.
But
with
to
the
your
Jaden
point,
Daniels
though,
stuff.
If you pulled the GMs, my assumption would be at least three quarters of the league would take Jaden Daniels over Jalen Hurts right now.
Probably. I'm not disputing. I think Jaden Daniels is probably more talented than Hurts. But, like, I don't know. It's kind of like Hugh saying, I'm not going there after just one season, I don't think. I think I need to see more.
I hear you. I just, man, I'll just tell you how I was feeling during that championship game. The dude terrified me.
Yeah.
That entire game.
Oh, no,
I mean,
he can throw now.
When he
can throw.
When the Eagles went up, I think 34-15, they went right down, scored a touchdown to two. And then they had the ball back, and then Eckler had the fumble, which really changed the game. But I thought, like, Daniels, even though being completely outmatched, he played, I thought, incredible.
And that's why
game.
They went and they're trying to put some weapons around him. Because, you know, they got him a tackle. They went out and got, Debo. So they want some weapons around him because he can spin the ball, though. He can throw.
Yeah, but interesting. I don't think egregious. I think six is fair for Jalen. I think that is a proper ranking for him.
Yeah, I'm not going to, like, I don't know. I'm not going to cry over it. Like,
not
I wouldn't put him there. I'd probably put him ahead of Daniels, but I don't think it's totally unfair to put him at six.
For me, it'd be in the top five. Probably the top four. Top three.
Which one of those top four guys he knocking out? Or top three guys?
Lamar Jackson. Lamar gone. Lamar, who else did you have in front of me?
Burrow, Allen, and Mahomes.
Joe, like, we had this conversation about Burrow the other day. Burrow is a hell of a quarterback, but I feel like the intangibles play a huge role for me at that position. And Jalen has those. And those are unquantifiable. I know I always say unquantifiable intangibles. I know people that irritate some folks, but that's a real thing. It's a real thing, and Jalen has that. So I have to put him higher, man. And then when you talk about, like, all those other guys, when you talk about the Joe Burrows, you talk about the Lamar Jacksons, their body of work is similar to this point, you know, 5 years in or whatever, six, whatever. And Jalen's resume is more impressive. If I was running a Fortune 500 company and I looked at both of those, all three of those guys' resume, Jalen's resume stands out. It really, really does. And he might not be as talented as those other guys, which I totally understand, but his resume stands out.
It does. And now I'm gonna do it here. I'm gonna offer some perspective on the situation. And the perspective is that Joe Burrow's defense sucked last year. I mean, that defense was historically bad. Like, they had one of the best offenses. I mean, that offense was incredible. Yeah. So they missed the playoffs, but that had nothing to do with Joe Burrow.
No, I mean, I get it. And you know, I know the argument with Jalen is, you know, he got a stacked team. I get that. But even with that, man, he's still the guy pulling the trigger. Still the guy making it go. Now, you know, people say, well, anybody can do that. Nah, I don't know. I don't know if anybody could just do that now. I mean, you're diminishing the intangibles, the unquantifiable ones that he brings to the table.
I think with Jalen, anything lower than six would probably be disrespectful, but I think six is fair. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. We have one segment left. Well, a lot to get to. We'll check in with you people, obviously, before we get out of here. See if they came for me and Hugh today.
Oh, you know they did.
We'll finish with calls. Plus, we have two major conspiracies to crack into. One dealing with one of our coworkers here at WIP, and another one based off one of the weirdest text messages I ever received in my life yesterday. So we'll get to that coming up next. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas. This is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Who are we investigating today, man?
Well, we have a few things we need to investigate here, Hugh. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today. This is the Midday Show. We have a couple conspiracies that we need to get to in this final segment. One dealing with a co-host here at the station coming up in a few minutes here. But first, I gotta mention this text message I got yesterday from another one of our coworkers, Dave Uram of KYW News Radio. As you know, Hugh, how do you refer to Dave as special?
Dave, yeah, he's different.
Yeah, Dave's a different kind of guy.
Like, well,
no, special in a positive way. Dave is a unique human being. I'll just say that. So yesterday, you know, I'm standing at the train station because took the train to work, and I'm waiting for the train to go home, and I get a text from Dave. And the people in this group chat, myself, Mike Angelina, Buzz Wilson, and James Seltzer. Now, we don't have an active group chat.
It's an interesting group chat.
It is. And we have no history of having a group chat. So Dave sends us a picture of Wikipedia, the 1983 NBA Finals, and then sends a long text. He says, I found out something interesting. The 1983 NBA Finals was not known as the NBA Finals. It was the NBA World Championship Series or Showdown 83. They didn't start calling it the NBA Finals until 1986. So the Sixers technically have never won the NBA Finals. They won the Larry O'Brien Trophy in 83 that Larry awarded to them, but it technically was not the Finals. Then he goes on to say, so the Sixers have technically never won the NBA Finals. Now, while one could argue it's like the Eagles not winning the Super Bowl until Super Bowl 52, aside from three NFL championships, the difference is someone could argue that the Sixers still beat the Western Conference champion Lakers. It wasn't two leagues like NFL, AFL. It was NBA, but not the NBA Finals. Why he decided he needed to let us four know this information urgently was so bizarre.
Did he also put it on Twitter?
No,
or was
he didn't.
This for your ears only?
For our eyes only. Eyes only. Now, Mike responded, oh, wow, I never noticed that. Seltzer responded in a very, you know, James Seltzer way, like, oh, this is wild stuff, like, you know, whatever. I just sat back. I said, take a nap, Dave. Like, what? Like, why are you telling us this?
He's excited.
And he sent us more information today about it. I'm not going to read all this stuff. But, yeah, I don't, like...
He investigated further and continued to share.
So I confronted him this morning in person, like during a break. I'm like, Dave, why'd you feel the need to send us?
Oh, he's not on vacation.
No, he's here. You know, he's always.
Does he ever take vacations?
He doesn't believe in vacation days. Like, he will work every vacation.
I don't either, but they're making me.
Yeah,
making me leave.
Wow, wonder why.
But yeah, is this
somebody here?
This is so that they don't have to fire you.
It's not nice.
You might be on some dough.
Is this not the weirdest thing ever, though? With URM,
can I?
What is?
Yeah, it's, like,
see,
it is an interesting fact, though.
Can I be allowed to recklessly speculate like I like to do?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Well, okay. This is why you're going on vacation, buddy?
Yeah, that's because I be speculating all the time. Okay, what time of the day was this?
2:15 p.m. yesterday.
Okay, so, was he at work or was he at home?
Well, I think he was at home at that point. I think he leaves around like 11:30 or something.
Okay, so, I myself have sent, well, not tweets, but I've sent pictures and stuff to Kyle and Joe. So, I can relate to this a little bit. So, normally, when I do stuff like that, I'm in my profound thinking era, like, if so to speak.
Your gummy era?
I didn't say that.
Okay.
I didn't say that.
Okay. All right.
But it might be gummy related.
Recklessly speculating.
Yeah, it might be gummy related. So I can relate to that. So since we're here and you already put us there, yeah, he probably was high. I would say Dave probably is a gummy partaker.
No way.
You don't think so?
No.
Like, listen to how deep. Read it. I mean, I don't want you to read it again.
Some people think deeply without assistance.
He's like, I don't want you to read that again.
I don't want you to read it again.
Don't put the audience to sleep again.
That is profound thinking at 2:30.
Where it's just like an interesting fact that he dug up and wanted to share.
And he wanted to share it, but how do you get that profound?
Well, my question is, do we now remove an NBA title from the Sixers?
I think we might. I think that was Dave's point. Because he does hate Philadelphia. That's a well-noted fact.
He hates Philadelphia?
Yeah, he's a hater.
Wow. You mean the Sixers?
No, he picks against the Eagles in every Super Bowl.
He doesn't. Ram.
Yes, he does. He's a covert...
Not my Dave,
you Never
Uram.
Meet your heroes, you.
not my Dave, you Ram. What are you doing to me?
But, and why he chose, like, that selection of people was odd.
He was high.
Like, it was me, it was Mike, it was Buzz, and it was James.
Because he felt like you guys could relate to it, and you guys are on air, and he was giving you a little nugget because he was being profound.
Well, maybe the only person he was wrong about was you, because everyone else found it interesting. You told him to go to bed.
Well, Buzz didn't answer, but Buzz did laugh at my comment. So I think Buzz might have felt similarly to me.
You mean heartthrob Buzz?
Heartthrob Buzz. But, yeah, so that was weird. And he doesn't partake. One time we were at a bar, I bought him a beer. He threw it in the trash. He didn't give back to me to drink.
Beer and partaking are two different things.
Okay. Give it to somebody else to drink.
Yeah, give it back to me. I'd have drank it.
No, God. I would bitch to say he was partaking.
All right, well, we have that. And then we have what happened on the afternoon show yesterday, where Spike, fill me in more on this, Kyle. So Spike accused the Mets of cheating?
Yeah, so actually, I think he does a pretty good job of setting this up himself. I'll just play you the cut of some findings on the afternoon show yesterday.
I was doing some statistical deep dive on the Mets.
Great.
I'm not saying that they're cheating.
Uh-oh.
But there's something fishy going on this year with the Mets. So the Mets this year, again, I'm not saying that they're cheating. I'm just saying that maybe somebody should take a look into what's going on.
You're waiting for the deep expose report?
Well, and I'm looking at my phone because I have some statistics here. So the Mets at home this year are 32-13, which is a 7-11 winning percentage. The Mets on the road this year are 19-25, which is a 4.32 winning percentage.
It's almost impossible.
Which is a difference of a plus 0.279, so almost a 280 winning percentage difference. So I went back through history, and I was like, Have there been a lot of teams that have had this split? And they have, but they're all in Minnesota and Colorado. Now, Colorado...
Minnesota's a weird one, though.
Well, Minnesota used to have the sight lines and the dome were always weird. They had, and by the way, like they admitted at one point to like piping in noise and piping in wind and all that. But you look at the biggest splits of all time. The first one was 2020. Don't count that. Colorado, Minnesota, Colorado, 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 Minnesota. So, like, this would be the seventh biggest home road split difference in the history of baseball. So you might say to yourself, well, maybe historically at Citi Field, the Mets are way better at home than they are on the road.
Maybe it's such a hitter's advantage there at Citi Field.
Actually, that's not the case, Jack.
Not surprised.
This would be triple the difference between their home and road split than a normal season at Citi Field. It would be their largest home road split in the history of Citi Field by 30%. And almost triple what normal is. Some seasons at Citi Field, they've even had a better record away from Citi Field than they've had at home in Citi Field.
That's a deep dive for real.
That is a deep dive. I mean, some weird quirks there. Kyle, what would you rule this? Do you think there's something to this?
There's definitely something to this. I think they should investigate it immediately. Maybe
he's
even
not a mess.
Just disband the New York Mets.
That's a lot.
Get them out of the division. All that stuff.
Well,
actually, you know what they should do? They should void the Juan Soto contract.
Oh, yeah. That's a good.
I think that's an appropriate recourse.
That makes sense. And by the way, just from what I'm seeing on social media, people in New York, not happy.
Oh, not happy at all.
They are not happy with
Spike
today.
I can't imagine why.
Overreacting pretty significantly.
Well, that's a lot. That was a lot. I mean, but the numbers, if the numbers line up, I think that instead of getting mad at him, why don't you go check the fact? Why don't you go look at the numbers?
Don't tell New Yorkers to look at numbers, man.
They struggle like that.
They'll get confused.
I'm not saying it's true, but that's a lot. That's a deep dive.
It is. I thought it was interesting. Well, it's something for baseball to monitor.
Well,
it's on the
thought.
Radar now. Well done by Spike. So there you go. So we've gotten, I don't know if we got to the bottom of anything there.
No,
but,
we never got.
Yeah,
this.
We just had to. We just
feel
had,
like we just talked
we,
about it.
We just had to look at it and rip you, Ram, and give Spike a pat on the back.
I think you, Ram, was high, though. I mean, I mean that's profound.
I can almost guarantee you he was not high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've done like 50 investigations on the show, give or take. Zero have we gotten to the bottom of. And about 45 has Hugh recklessly speculated and said something potentially messy about.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something messy now because that, I mean, you that does sound like some, you know, a gummy day.
Yeah.
Sound like a little bit of a gummy day.
For most people, I'd agree, but not for Dave. Not for Dave. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to Cowboy Jim. Hey, Cowboy Jim.
Cowboy Jim.
You don't think that's going to give motivation to the Mets that say, like, hey, they think we cheat. Let's play a little bit harder. You don't think so? That's the dumbest thing anyone's ever said.
No.
And I brought it up.
No, it's not.
And I brought
dumbest.
This up an hour and a half ago, and I told you this is what I want to talk about, and Kyle waits till the end to put me on.
Yeah, Jim, I just bury you to the bottom anyway,
yeah,
regardless of what
bottom.
You want to talk about.
God, you're a jerk.
Wow. Getting personal.
This is where we've gotten to it.
I could tell that was not a kidding Cowboy Jim. That was a serious Cowboy.
Yeah, no, I know. I got
this
him.
Is
got
where we
good.
Are. This is where we
he
are.
Knows. He knows I love him. He knows that. He knows that. And you don't go to Montana. Big lakes up there, they got orcas and sharks in those lakes. Don't go.
Oh, I'm not going by the water.
There are no orcas in the lakes.
I'm going by the water, but I know.
He said there was. He said there was orcas in the lake.
Drive my pickup truck and, you know, go to a couple hoedowns. You know, that's what they call hoedowns.
You know, if Harper falls
right
off.
Right up your alley.
If Harper falls off, you have a choice. Shark repellent or a life vest. What do you take?
I'm gonna go with the life vest. But you know what? If he's overboard, I probably ain't got time to grab a life vest. So I just gotta go. I don't have time to grab either one because I'm already hesitating. I'm taking a heartbeat before I jump in, and then I'm jumping in. So I gotta, you know, if I wait any longer, then people gonna start looking at me like, "What you doing, Dad? What you doing?" You know, I can't go out like that. I gotta go get him. I gotta go get him.
Sounds like Harper's gonna be saving you. I think that's what's gonna happen.
I gotta go get him, though. Don't I?
It's gonna be who's gonna take a questionable amount of time to go into that water to save him?
No, I'm gonna take a beat, though. I'm definitely gonna take a beat. Definitely,
you know,
that's gonna happen.
Seconds to see if you'll see if somebody else jumps in.
That's what I'm gonna do.
Okay, that loser jumped in first. Okay, good. All right.
All right, Jim.
Here's I'm not ashamed of that either.
Here's a lifer. TK, hold on, TK. I'll speak a little slower today about the space because you didn't quite understand it yesterday. There's no Superman. There's no hero that's coming to save the Phillies. There's no Superman with underwear on the outside coming to save them. Okay? If it wasn't – you have a weak manager, a weak hitting coach. No one's going there. If it wasn't starting rotation, you'd be as bad as the Colorado Rockies.
What so have I done to deserve this?
Whoa, Jim just hung up on us, man.
Dude, you can't let Jim hang up on you.
Hey, I mean.
That's crazy. That's
I was thrown off by the Jerry Jones cut. That made
I think you're putting this on me.
Yeah, I'm putting it on you. It's your fault, Kyle.
You messed up his train of thought.
Come on. But without further ado, it's time for you people.
You people.
It's time to hear from you people.
What do you mean, you people?
So I guess Julio is off this week somewhere just getting some crazy sunburn.
Somebody said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe doesn't look like a guy who's going to get tanned. Yeah, he's going to burn.
He ain't even here.
If you're hanging with Joe outside, many applications of sunscreen. That man is not going to let himself get sunburned. Yeah. Did Hugh Douglas really just big time Ruben Amaro Jr.?
I couldn't remember. Rube. I couldn't remember Rube.
The guy that works here.
I had a brain fart. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I had a brain fart. Yeah.
All good.
Yep. If TK was asking for a big stick earlier in the lineup,
I was.
They do advertise for something stick. For that on this radio station.
It's true.
I left it alone.
Hey, man.
I left that one alone.
Who doesn't love a big stick?
You did not leave it alone. You
yes,
giggled.
I did. I just laughed. I didn't say anything, but I laughed.
Yep.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Yeah. I like this because this came up during the conversation we were having about the sharks in the bay and whales in lakes. Philly sports radio used to be world class. What happened?
Oh God! We're not world class. Sorry, we're not up to your standards.
I'm curious to see what your standards are. Ooh, let me almost say
probably
something.
Not.
I was about to say I'm gonna keep
something,
it to
yeah, something crazy.
Yeah, you know me.
Good, yep.
It was on the tip of my tongue, but I'm not gonna bite back.
You come for Hugh.
Hey, you better not miss.
Yep, probably something to do with this though. Hugh Douglas, the king of teenage innuendo and weed gummies, preaching about being an adult.
That's listen. What you mean, teenage innuendo? You thought it was funny because you laughed to whoever you are.
You were giggling about the big stick.
I just think, okay, it's childish, I know, but I'm trying to do better. Mm. I admit that. Mm. And gummies is not for the faint of heart, by the way, sir, or miss. It's not for the faint of heart.
They're also not sure if that was actually a mint and not a gummy with the way that you were acting.
It was not. Listen, I take my job seriously. And plus, can't be popping gummies at the workspace.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of mints, though, lately.
Like, I like
some
mints.
Some would say too many.
Yeah, I like mints.
They're calling you hungry,
like
hungry Hugh.
That was all right.
That kind of threw you off the entire show.
What was that?
It's Max.
No, Max was putting me on blast for the mints, man.
Yeah, I don't know. Max was selectively zooming in on you while you're while you're doing your mukbang.
Mukbang, yeah. Damn it, Max.
Hugh Douglas looks like a used blackboard eraser.
That one.
Oh,
not
my God.
It's the beard.
Oh, the
shawl.
Beard. Okay, gotcha. We come be a look. We've had that one kind of already.
Yeah, have we?
Yeah, so we've kind of had that.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that was not original.
Unoriginal, still not unfunny. That's my favorite one, though. Because WIP posted the clip of TK talking about the Austin Riley trade for Alec Boehm. Well, I guess Joe asked ChatGPT what the dumbest take he could throw out there was today.
Yeah, I saw that one.
You can watch the clip.
Yeah, it's not Joe.
As you would hear pretty clearly, it's not Joe Giglio. But why do that? I don't know what the point is of actually watching or listening to a clip these days.
He probably thought he cooked, too, on that one, too. Oh,
yeah.
He probably thought he cooked. Yeah.
You didn't cook, sir.
Oh, I cooked on this one.
Got to get back in the kitchen.
Just watch the clip.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. Well, that's you people for
that's
today.
That's it.
That's
not
the day.
As bad. Yeah, not
that was,
as bad.
That was pretty tame today.
Nobody must be doing that. They were tame coming
Nobody called
you.
Me a failed restaurant owner
no,
today.
Yesterday, they were on fire. Some,
yeah. You know, I try not to include, like the actual hurtful ones, you know?
Ah, whatever.
You can put the hurtful ones in.
Well, somebody said you look like Jolly 20 years earlier. So.
Jolly 20 years earlier? Oh man, now you asked for it. Worried about it. You, you know what? Leave those out. Leave those
ones
out.
Fight. You got to fight somebody. Now.
Yeah, now I'm ready. Now I'm ready to brawl.
You got
to
fight.
Let's go to Joe in the Northeast. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Tom. You, Kyle.
What's going on, Tom, man?
Tommy, when you were talking about those pinch hitting for Marsh and Scott, was that in the, was that the sixth inning? Was it
seventh inning? I think.
Was it?
Because, yeah.
Because. Well, what, okay, that guy Lucchese came in, was it? Well, anyway,
yeah, they had a lefty in, and he bunted with Stott. Then right. Marsh hit a ground ball. I think he should have hit Sosa and Kemp there.
Right. We know what his philosophy is. I was wondering if it might have been the sixth inning or earlier. He won't pinch hit at that time.
Yeah, I'm like 95% sure it was the seventh.
Okay, that the right-hander is going to come around again, and then that they'll have a right-hander against the right-handed batter.
Right.
You know, there's a guy, the national TV keeps talking about this guy is available, will be available. Is Eugenio Suarez, the third baseman for the Arizona Diamondbacks. He was a free agent last year, him and Christian Walker. Walker went to the Astros. So I don't know what his contract is now. Is it an opt-out or anything? But they're talking about him. And they'll probably want pitching back. But you get him, you put him at third base, and then you decide what you're going to do with Boehm. Do you move him to first and put Harper in the outfield, or you trade Boehm for somebody?
Well, this is the thing, Joe. I mean, Suarez is not a good fielder, so I think if you're doing that, you'd probably, I don't know, maybe DH him and put Schwarber back in the field.
No, Tom, you got that all wrong. The guy's a great defensive player.
I'm pretty sure he's been the DH this year for Arizona.
That's what national TV talks about him. They say he's a great, you know, he played for, I don't know how old he is. He played for Seattle before.
He's older. He was with the Reds. He's been around a while.
Yeah. He's got 28 home runs, and there's your right-handed bat, you know, there. And in reference to Kirkring last night, you know, when the umpire's got a blind spot, Cuzzy, why keep going to that quadrant?
Well, yeah, I hear you, Joe, and I appreciate the call. We got to run. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to put that on the pitcher. Like, you make the pitches, the ump's got to call it. Like, I'm not going to adjust where I'm throwing the ball because the ump can't see it, you know?
Yeah, you got to – that was just egregious. I'm of the mindset not Topper should have probably came out there and swung.
There you go, Hugh. We got you to come around. Throughout the course
took the whole show.
Yeah, but I mean, Kirkering's throwing the ball. He can only make the pitches. The ump's got a call. But that's going to do it for us today. Now, tomorrow, we will be out at McGurk's in Fort Washington.
McGurk's.
Make sure you come out tomorrow, either before the pitching event or after the pitching event. Jack versus Joe at Plymouth White Marsh High School. We'll be right around the corner at McGurk's in Fort Washington. So make sure you come out to both McGurk's and to watch Jack vs. Joe tomorrow in the baseball event at Plymouth White Marsh. Thank you to Kyle Quinn for producing. Stay tuned. Afternoon show coming up next right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Peace.